بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيدخلهم ربهم في الرحمة ذلك هو فوز المبين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الخالة بمنزله أم، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, Alhamdulillah, we are now in lesson number 71. In lesson number 70, we discussed basically about Azan and more so about the importance of Salat performance. Today we start discussing in this lesson the wisdom behind replying to the Azan. The Azan is an invitation for people to present themselves at the masjid for salah. They therefore need to reply to the invitation practically by attending the salah and also verbally. So we have got basically two methods of replying the salah, the azan. That is qawli and fairly. Fairly means by physically responding to the azan, because the azan is a call to salah. So by physical response, we mean that the person must physically move towards the place of call, that is the musalla, the masjid. And by qawli, we mean verbal response to the azan. Whilst the first is emphasized because it is the objective, the second is sunnah. The first meaning that we have to physically respond to it, and the verbal response is sunnah. Separate ahadith instruct both forms of replies, and the reason for each reply is that the azan has two facets in it, two aspects in it. Number one, it calls people for salah, and number two, it calls everyone to iman. Remember that the call towards salat is there in azan, and the call towards iman, that means call towards shariat, call towards fundamentals of shariat, call towards imaniyat, called towards belief and aqidah and amal-e-saliha, called towards the deen of Islam. Now when the azan calls for salah, that means there is a particular response for it, that is the physical response. And when it calls towards iman, that means there is a verbal response to it. With regard to the first aspect, it is necessary for every Muslim to respond to the invitation by preparing and then attending the Salat with Jamaat. As for the second aspect, every Muslim has been commanded to refresh their iman by repeating the words of Azan and affirm them with the heart and the tongue. The Azan is a hallmark of Islam that has been stated to tell whether people have accepted Islam or not. It is therefore those who have accepted who will physically respond to the azan, and their verbal response make this apparent. So both responses are necessary, and the one pertains to responding physically so that we can go and perform the salah, and the one is that we can refresh our iman. Because when we repeat the words of this azan, we are actually re-testifying, we are refreshing our iman. And in the hadith it comes clearly that refreshen your iman, that means re-strengthen your iman, rejuvenate your iman by the testification of the shahada. By saying the shahada, one will rejuvenate and refreshen the iman. Now by repeating the words of the azan, one automatically rejuvenates and refreshes the iman of a person. Now the question arises that when we reply to the azan, then we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, when the muazzin says hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alal falah. Now why we say that, whereas the reply to the words of azan is repetition of the same words? When the muazzin says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, then we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then when the muazzin says Hayya 'alas salah, Hayya 'alas salah, Hayya 'alal falah, Hayya 'alal falah, then we don't repeat Hayya 'alas salah, Hayya 'alas salah, or we don't repeat Hayya 'alal falah, Hayya 'alal falah. But what we reply? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This has been reported in Muslim from a hadith narrated by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now the question arises that for all the words of azan, we repeat the exact words. But when it comes to hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alal falah, then we don't repeat hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alal falah, but we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why? The reply to the zikr at the beginning and the end of azan, the takbir and the kalima, is the same zikr, because this is only appropriate. Because when we say, when the muazzin says Allahu Akbar, then the appropriate reply is Allahu Akbar. And when the muazzin says the shahada, then the appropriate reply is the shahada. The reply to the two shahada is the same, because it serves to refresh the iman. And then we have just explained that that is the purpose of reply to the azan. Why? Because we can testify and we can rejuvenate, we can refresh our iman. However, the reason why we say la hawla said in reply to Hayya 'alas salah and Hayya 'alal falah is that La Hawla expresses Tawheed, because it affirms that all power and might belong only to Allah. This is said because it may happen that when a person proceeds to carry out an act of ibadat, shaitan may deceive him into being proud about his deed. Now shaitan is our aduun mubeen, he is our open enemy. And he is our enemy that he wants us to keep us away from amal salihah, from good, righteous, pious deeds which are substantiated in the sharia. So shaitan is there to mislead us, misguide us, to waylay us. Shaitan is there to put us into difficulty and to deprive us from good and blessings and boons and favors of Allah. So when the muazzin is calling Hayya 'alas salah, Hayya 'alas salah, Hayya 'alal falah, Hayya 'alal falah, now shaitan, he does not want you to respond to that. And Shaitan wants to put you into difficulty and wants to put you into a position where you do not respond to it. And Shaitan wants to keep you away from Salah. And Shaitan wants to keep you away from success. And Shaitan does not want you to come to the masjid. Or Shaitan does not want you to come to the musalla. Shaitan wants to buy you from good. That is why now what we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We testifying to Tawheed. We are repeating these words of Tawheed. And because Shaitan is so afraid of Tawheed, and so Shaitan abhors Tawheed, Shaitan detests Tawheed, and Shaitan runs away, as we said, when the Muazzin is calling out the Shahadats and the Azan. Why? Because Shaitan cannot withstand Tawheed. Tawheed is a great sword and great weapon against Shaitan. Because Shaitan wants to commit kufr and shirk and bidah. That is why now when we call towards Allah and we call towards success and call towards salat which will give us success, then in order that Shaitan does not mislead us and misguide us, we say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Shaitan must not create in us this feeling that we are proud and arrogant and deceive us and keep us away. So La hawla reminds him that he can do this only through the help of Allah and with no accomplishment from his side. One of the greatest downfalls of man is that I, egoism, that I went for Salat and this is because of my achievement I went for Salat. I went for Hajj because this is my achievement I went for Hajj. I went and gave Zakat, this is my achievement I went and gave Zakat. I fasted because this is my achievement. And now in Salat, which is so regularly performed and we have to respond to it so regularly, so we are reading this La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah so that we know fully well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer of actions and He is the one who gives us tawfiq to do the actions. Now when Allah gives us the tawfiq and the ability and capacity to do the actions, then pride and arrogance and haughtiness will come out of us. Because one of the purposes of responding to Salat and going for Salat is that a person must be one who is simple, easygoing, removed of pride and stupidity and arrogance, will develop humility and meekness. Now, one knows, in reply to the words, As-salatu khayrum minan nawm, Salat is better than sleep, in the Fajr Azan, the reply is Saddaka wa Barraka is given, meaning, you have spoken the truth by stating that Salat is better than sleep. And you have done well by informing me. Now, in Fajr Salat, when the Muazzin calls that, As-salatu khayrum minan nawm, that Salat is better than sleep, then we don't read La hawla, but we say Saddaka wa Barrak. Why? It means, definitely you have spoken the truth. Why? Because you have said that Salat is better than sleep. And you have done well by informing me. Scholars say that they have not come across any hadith advising use of these words. But this was a common phrase used amongst the Arabs to agree with something. This is indicated in a hadith in Musnad of Ahmad, and it is probably from here that this practice has started. However, a very weak hadith in Abu Dawud states that the reply to the ikama is like that of the azan, and that in reply to the word qad qamatis salah, the reply should be aqamaha. Aqamaha wa adamaha Allah. May Allah always keep it established and perpetual. This reply may therefore be used for the Iqamah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability that we physically reply to the azan, and we also verbally apply to the azan and the Iqamah, so that we get a reward adequately and tremendously. Now the virtues of replying to the azan. What are the virtues of replying to the azan? A hadith from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who referred to the above states that when a person replies to the azan with sincerity as described, he will definitely, surely enter Jannah. Now how simple is this? Just by replying, that means when the muezzin, whatever the words the muezzin says, we say. And this is greatly lacking. That we are in the masjid, or we are going to the masjid, and we do not reply it. We hear it, but we don't reply it. We don't respond to it. We are physically going to the masjid, we hear the azan very clearly over the mic systems, but we are very negligent and careless. Whereas we can get Jannah just by repeating the words of the muezzin, and when the muezzin says Hay al-Salah or Hay al-Falah, then we say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Just by saying that, alhamdulillah, we get and obtain, we get Jannah. Islam, there is beauty of Islam, and many books have been written about this, that if you do small actions, you get tremendous amount of rewards. For a lot of details about the reply of the azan, the method of giving the azan, who should give the azan, there are two books on our website, alislam.co.za. One is azan, and one is the laws pertaining to azan and iqamah. This is very, very detailed work. 2011, this year, we are getting it in physical copy. Actually, the work is done by a ustad of ours from Darul Uloom Deoband, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Amin Palanpuri, who is the brother of Mufti Allama Sayyid Ahmad Palanpuri, who is the Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband. And this is a detailed work, and it is already getting onto our website. The reason for going into Jannah, for replying the azan, is that this signifies obedience to Allah. And it is a manifestation of one surrendering himself over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the reward for such obedience and surrender is nothing but Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the person responded to the azan, responding to the azan, meaning that the person responded coolly and fairly, meaning verbally and by physically going towards the masjid or musalla. Because this, both these actions are in obedience to Allah, surrendering one before Allah, then that person will go into Jannah. Because what is the whole of Islam also? Islam basically meaning that we submit and we surrender to the laws and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, Allah's muezzin is calling towards the masjid and the musalla, and we respond to it physically, wholly, fairly, then because of responding to it, one will be allowed and one will get the reward of Jannah. Now the question arises that the dua after azan. A narration in Bukhari states that a person will acquire the intercession of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam if after the azan he prays that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam receives the wasila, the fadila, and maqam mahmud. Now when we look at the azan, then it has got dua for Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam or wasila and fazila and maqam al-mahmud. This dua has been stipulated after the azan because it represents submission and verbal expression, shows the fervor within. It is a natural inclination to love a benefactor, and what greater benefactor to mankind can there be than Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who made mankind aware of this great deen. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, if you look at the Hajj that he made, and with plus minus 124,000 Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala majmain, then after the small speech in Arafat, nowadays we have the speeches and we have a lot of frames which are in homes of people, and he written their farewell sermon of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the farewell Hajj, that people are under the impression that he gave this speech in one place during Hajj. Some say, wrongly believe this, that he gave the speech in Mina, or some say he gave it in Arafat, or some say that he gave it in Muzdalifah. Whereas if you go to our website alislam.co.za, you'll find the details in a book called The Farewell Sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There in Morana, who is the Shaykh al-Hadith of Azad Vildarulum, Murana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Azami, he has written that this speech, which we generally call the farewell sermon of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was given various places, and it is a combination of his speeches, the most important parts of his speech in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, is called the combination of all his important statements, has now been classified as the farewell sermon of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After he gave his speech in Arafat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that have I conveyed the message? And he asked them three times this, have I conveyed the message? And Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they testified that definitely he has conveyed the message. Thereafter he told Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that those that are present, that you should convey the message to those who are absent. Meaning that the responsibility of conveying the deen now rest upon all the Muslims of the world. Because Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they took up the responsibility and duty from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and conveyed the message to the entire existing world at that time. It is the responsibility of Muslims of every age to constantly convey the message of Islam to whomsoever they meet and come into contact with and preach and propagate it. But who brought this complete deen to us, this perfect deen to us, this easy deen to us, is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That today, alhamdulillah, we are blessed with Iman, we are blessed with Islam, and we are blessed with such a complete, easy, perfect deen that every facet and every aspect of deen has been outlined to us. Whether it be politics, whether it is akhlaqiyat, character, whether it is mamlaat, buying and selling, whether it is siyasat, politics, whether it is iqtisadiyat, whether it is economics, any and every aspect, mannerism, ethics of ibadat, worship, everything has been detailed and complete. So who brought this was Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why that if we make dua for Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the azan and we make dua, then the hadith of Bukhari says that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for us. Now those people, for example, who cannot go to Madinatul Munawwara and make ziyarat of the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man zara kabri wajabat shafaati, that whosoever makes the ziyarat of the grave, of his grave, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that intercession has become compulsory upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for that person. So fortunate is that person who goes to Madinatul Munawwara and makes ziyarat of the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now intercession, and intercession is not something small, because on the day of judgment, the various Anbiya alayhi salam will be asked to intercede, and every Nabi and every Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that he is not in a position because of certain action they did. They'll say they are too shy to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede for starting of accountability. But here, all of them are going to come to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, all the Anbiya, all the Nabi and Rasul are going to say to the public that go to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will plead to Allah ta'ala for the start of the accountability. That will be the Shafaat Kubra. That means the big intercession, the major intercession. And thereafter, at various places, it is stated in the Ahadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be waiting there to intercede for his ummah. The fortunate is a person that who goes to Madinatul Munawwara, presents himself to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he will be entitled for the intercession of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what about the person who cannot afford to go to Madinatul Munawwara? Then if he reads the dua after azan, then it is stated that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for that person. If you look at Islam, then it is not based upon wealth and sawab. People may say, no, I do not have, for example, the wealth to give charity. You will find that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they also asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They told Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the wealthy, they are giving zakat, and they are making khayriyat, sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are poor. We do not have the means to give out zakat or give out charity. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, That is when he said that after Asar Salat, read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. You will get the sawab for giving out sadaqah and zakat. Now, when the rich sahaba saw the poor sahaba sitting after Asar, the information leaked to them, and they also began to sit and read. That is why that zikr after Asr Salat is called the Tasbih of Ghuraba. The zikr of the Ghuraba, the zikr of the poor, because it was upon their request that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that you may read that zikr. A person's acceptance of the deen and love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perfectly expressed when he prays that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives wasila and fadila and maqam and mahmood. Similarly, we find that people who cannot go for umrah and they do not have the financial means for going for umrah, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person who makes a wuzu from his house and goes to the masjid is like the person who has adorned the ihram and is going, and he will get the reward of an accepted hajj. In one hadith, an accepted umrah. In another hadith, an accepted umrah and an accepted hajj. Whereas the person who spends the money and goes for umrah or hajj, he does not know whether it is accepted. But a person who makes a perfect wuzu, proper wuzu, and goes to the masjid, then he gets a sawab for accepted hajj and umrah. So the shariat has been designed to keep in mind the wealthy and the non-wealthy. Why are du'as accepted between azan and ikama? Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala reports that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no dua made between the azan and ikama is rejected. So do make dua then. The time between azan and ikama is filled with Allah's mercy, and the person who practices upon this advice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never be deprived, because there are certain times and moments when dua is accepted. There is a book on my website, alislam.co.za, the times and places and the ethics of making dua. Originally is by Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, which enumerates the ethics and mannerisms of dua making, and the times when dua is accepted, and the places when dua is accepted. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to practice upon all the laws of azan and ikamat and take the necessary benefits. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.